This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Last month, we received a pitch from a listener named Kim, who suggested we feature some of Vermont's, quote, saltier residents on the show. By salty residents, she was referring to the community of merchant mariners living in Vermont. According to Kim, there's a strong group of them and former merchant mariners who connect around here. And she should know, her husband, Captain Ronald Dull, was a merchant mariner for 45 years. After Ron's retirement, they moved to Queechy, Vermont with their dog, cat, and horse. I spoke with Captain Ron Dull earlier this month about his long career and the training that goes into a job that would see him at sea for up to 2 or 3 months at a time. And I asked him what it felt like to be out on a ship for that long.
Oh, lonely.
Really?
You don't have a lot of people on board with you, even on a very large ship. It's not like you're out there on a big cruise ship and you're having a party all the time. It's like there was a lot of work to do on the ship. You are everything from the chief surgeon and doctor on board, if necessary, to talking to the charterers about your cargoes, to the navigation, to the maintenance and repair. You have a lot to do all day. And then after that, there's not that much to do out at sea, to tell you the truth. You'd get a movie, and we had the old Betamax tapes.
Uh-huh.
You read a lot, and you played board games and that type of stuff. And that's about as far as your social life went.
What did you like about doing this work?
I just enjoyed being on the big ships. There was a real comfort at night, particularly when there was not much going on, and you just felt those big engines just kind of throbbing, and you're out there all by yourself.
What's the coolest thing you ever saw out to sea?
Oh, boy. A lot of cool things.
You don't have to pick just one.
I don't know. You know, the marine life, you see a lot of marine life, a lot more than you would suspect with whales and seals and dolphins and birds, and you would see things like double rainbows at night.
Huh.
You could see rainbows at sea.
Wait, how do you see a double rainbow at night?
You would have a full moon,
mm-hmm.
and the moon would give you enough light that would actually create a rainbow if you had some rain showers between you and the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually saw a double rainbow one night.
Huh.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah, so that was kind of fun. And, many things like that. And the phosphorescence that in the sea, the propellers would go ahead and actually churn this up behind you.
Mm-hmm.
So it would actually look like the Milky Way, all the stars.
Hmm. Do you miss it now that you're in a landlocked state and you're retired?
No, not really. You know, on a nice day, a calm day, sunshine, blue skies, and you think, hey, it'd be pretty nice to be out at sea today and kind of cruising around. Yeah, those days you miss. But there were a lot of days that were not like that at all. So those days you don't miss at all. So the hurricanes and the bad weather and the middle of the night and the ice and all that other stuff, those days you can keep.
You know, a lot of the stuff you can train for, and you mentioned that you went to the Maritime College and you obviously had to do a lot of training and then probably continue your training. But there are plenty of things that you can't plan for. And you talked a little bit about, you know, you have to be the surgeon on board and you have to be able to fix things if something breaks. How do you figure out how you're going to, what kind of person you are in an emergency, you know, when you don't have other people who you can call to get to your ship right away?
These merchant mariners on these big ships, whether they're the engineers or the deck crew, are very, very well trained. When these things come up in real life, you find yourself really digging into your training, and you know that you can handle it. You've been to firefighting school. You've been into burning ships already. You've experienced, you know, people that you need to go ahead and start IVs on and stitch up, and you've done that type of thing. And you just kind of revert back to your training.
So did you have to do all of those things that you just mentioned?
Yes. Yeah, all those things. Yeah, all those plus. As a pilot, they get you into different rooms and you pilot simulators to you really think it's real. You think it's real as you're standing there and you're white-knuckled and they'll throw all sorts of stuff at you. I was undocking on a simulator. I was undocking a big cruise ship up in Alaska, of all places. And I was thought I was doing a pretty good job. And then they decided they were going to shake me up a little bit, so they strafed me with jets.
Whoa.
Just to see what I was going to do, I guess. And I was watching it come across the horizon. I'm thinking, jets? Why am I being strafed with jets? But it was one of those things. So, yeah, you receive a lot of training. So when the situation actually happens, you're ready. Being out at sea is 90% boredom and 10% pure terror. So you just never know when you're going to get that call, and you're going to have to go ahead and start moving pretty fast.
Hmm. Captain Ron, you grew up in Pennsylvania, you said, right?
Yes, I did.
And then now you live in Vermont. So two landlocked states. There's plenty of water in both, but not a heck of a lot of ocean. And you chose a career that had you, at least for the bulk of it, the early part of it, out to sea. Was there a call to the ocean?
Growing up in Pennsylvania, we always had a place at the Jersey Shore. Everything was all about, you know, going out onto the bay and going fishing. And then my dad got me a little boat, a little runabout of some kind. And that was my first command. I think it was all about 15 feet long and probably had a 15-horsepower engine. And that was my first command. And we just carried around in the back of the pickup truck. And now I do 1,200 feet ships with, you know, 50 foot of draft.
Slightly different. Not so much room in the
pickup
truck.
Slightly different.
Yeah. So your wife, when she pitched this idea to us, she said that one of the things that she thought was interesting was that there are a lot of merchant mariners here in Vermont, and there's a little bit of a community. Why do you think that is, and what's the community like?
There's a whole bunch of us around here, more than you would give it credit for. New England as a whole, if you look back, has a real affinity for the sea. It's the expanse of the solitude that you see in the mountains, and you get the same feeling when you're out at sea. And then you have this relationship with whether it's the birds and the animals up in the fields or the animals that you see at sea, the marine life out there. It's like you see a whale. It's magnificent. Then again, you could be up in Vermont, see a moose, and have the same type feeling. So it's like, oh my God, look at that! You know, so you get that same type of feeling that you're always surprised and awed.
Hmm. And do you get together with other merchant mariners in Vermont? I mean, is the community? Is it just that there are pockets of people, or do you actually get together?
No, we actually get together. Matter of fact, I play golf with a couple of the guys every now and again. We're not very good, but we don't care. I have classmates that live up here, and I have met a number of other mariners from this area. And certainly our very famous Captain Phillips is from this area up in Essex Junction.
That's right. Yep. He's been on the show, too.
There's quite a few, and we do get together because we do have a common bond. And one or two beers go down, and we start telling sea stories, and I can't remember whether it was my story or somebody else's story, but you claim it for your own. You start saying, no, wait a minute, that happened to me. It did not. That happened to me. So, and the more senile we get, the better the stories
get. I bet that's true. Are you fully retired now?
Fully retired, yep. About 5 years ago, I retired and came up here full-time back up to Vermont. My wife of 40 years, we lived in Breckenridge, Colorado for quite a long time. And then I retired and we came back up to Vermont after I retired.
Did that make you emotional to think about your wife?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. How come?
Well, you get married to 40 years and you don't do this. You don't make a profession like this on your own.
Hmm.
It takes two to make this whole thing work. And that's why a lot of captains or a lot of men and women probably don't make it all the way through their career going to sea, because it takes two.
Yeah, and a lot of sacrifices from your partner then as well for you to be gone.
Absolutely, absolutely. You're gone for a long time. You're trying to raise a family.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes two. That's so.
You mentioned that this was a good career for you, a good job. Do you think young people today are interested, and would you encourage a young person to go into this field?
I would encourage them. I would still encourage them. So many times in my experience, and I still hear it today, you go to these guidance counselors like in high schools and stuff like that, and they don't know anything about this. They'll say, oh, you should go and be a lawyer. You should go and go to medical school. Or you may maybe want to be an accountant. But they don't know anything about this profession particularly.
Yeah.
And I think it would be good that these people sometimes said, hey, look, there's something cool over yeah. here. Something that's different.
That was retired Unlimited Master Mariner Captain Ronald Dull, now retired and living in Queechy, Vermont. He's also an author, and we'll put a link to some of his writing at vpr.org. Just click on Vermont Edition.